We're going to learn Daf Lamed in Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the top line, the middle of the top line. So let me just back up for a second and tell you what's going on over here. The bottom of the bottom of Chaf Tes Amud Beis was talking about Mishnah made a statement that said that you pay knas even if there's certain problems, and some of the problems that we listed in the Mishnah were like a mamzer, chayv elavim, and so on and so forth. And the Mishnah said that you're going to pay knas because it's not a problem. So the Gemara in the middle, towards the bottom of Chaf Tes Amud Beis, brought a machloikis between Shimon HaTaimani and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. So it says that no, they hold that you wouldn't pay knas because you need somebody who, according to Rav Shimon HaTaimani, you need someone who has havaya, means you can actually get married to them. And Shimon ben Manasseh says that you need somebody who you can stay married to. In other words, not get married to, but stay married to. And the Gemara is trying to figure out what the nafka mina is, because generally speaking, those people that you're not allowed to stay married to, you weren't allowed to marry in the first place. So the Gemara was going through a certain Afkaminos, and he said, Chayvei Lavim. The problem was that Rabbi Akiva says that any Isser is going to be Usser. So what's going to be the difference? So he said, so on the top of the Yama, the last line on the bottom of Chaf Tes Amud Beis to the top of Lamed Amud Aleph, said the difference with the Nafkamino between whether you could stay married or get married was Chayvei Aseh. Mitzri and Adomi. Those are the first few words on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Okay. Anyway, so now the Gemara says, fine. So Hanicha, let's start over here. Hanicha l'Rabbi Yishevov. So remember that we're trying to say that the Chiddush is that the Nafkamina would be a Chayvei Aseh. Because Chayvei Aseh, you are not allowed to stay married to them because there is an Isser in the Torah. However, the Kedushin is Toipsin because it's not a Chayvei Lavim, it's only an Aseh. So, to know the context of what Rabbi Yishevov made his statement. Rabbi Yishevov made his statement, or so to we think that Rabbi Yishevov made his statement contrary to Rav Simoi.
Right.
Rav Simoi said that that a Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana was the exception to the Chayvei Lavim. Comes along Rabbi Yishevov and he says, no, that's not an exception to the rule. Chayvei Lavim or Chayvei Lavim across the board are always the same, that according to Rabbi Akiva, that it's not going to be the Kedush, even the Kedushin is not going to be Typhus. Again, none of these Amoroyim that we're quoting over here, Tanoim or Amoroyim that we're quoting, would ever say and permit that couple to stay married. It's just a question. It's only a question of whether their marriage would have been effective in the first place. But everybody agrees they can't stay married because the Torah said it's awesome. It's only a question of, was the Kedushin even typhus in the first place? Again, let's just take the most extreme example that everybody can understand, that if somebody tried to marry their sister, I know that's not one of the examples we're discussing, but an extreme example, everybody would realize it's nothing, because it's not even shaykh, right? So here, the only discussion is not whether it's us or whether it's mutter. The only discussion is whether the Kedushin would be typhus in the first place. So again, so now that we know that the context of what Rabbi Yishevov was responding to was the context of maybe a Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana might be the exception to the rule, that Kedushin would be Toifis, comes along Rabbi Yishevov and says, no, that's not true. That all Chayvei Lavim are the same. Across the board, all Chayvei Lavim, the Kedushin is not Toifis. So then the Gemara says, okay, so what would be the Nafkamina? And again, this takes us back to the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the Nafkamina would be Chayvei Aseh. Okay? So Chayvei Aseh would be the Nafkamina. In other words, there's no exceptions in Chayvei Lavim. If the Torah says don't do it, then it doesn't work at all. The maybe where the Torah says, if you did it, you should do it the right way and not the wrong way, maybe that's the exception to the wrong, exception to the rule. Chayvei Aseh. On that, the Gemara says, 1 second, we have to understand, where did Rabbi Yishevov actually make his contact, where did he say what he was saying? We're assuming that he said it contrary to Rav Simoi, which means that Rabbi Yishevov will allow Chayvei Aseh to be the exception. But then the Gemara says maybe he didn't even say it in that context. So now, finally, to the top of Lamed Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, "Enichal Rabbi Yishevov, I understand it comes out well that if Rabbi Yeshiva ila afuke mitaima de Rav Simoi ka'osi, if really what Rabbi Yeshiva when he was talking was just coming contrary to Rav Simoi, so Shaper, then it makes sense that you say the only he was saying that your exception of a chayve lavim is not an exception, but chayve asay could still be the exception because chayve asay are not chayve lavim. So then everything works out and we have a nafkamina. However, if what he was really saying is out of context, he said this independently, and he just made the rule, and as his statement actually is, kol she'en lo biya b'Yisrael, avlad mamzer, and he said, any time they're not allowed to get married, the vlad is a mamzer, afilu chayve asay, that would include even a chayve asay. You're right, it's not a lois asay per se, but it is something that Torah does not permit. It does not permit it as a chayve asay. It's saying, do it the correct way, and we understand and infer from that there is a wrong way to do it. Because there is a correct way to do it, there must be a wrong way to do it. So then, if that's the case, according to Rabbi Yeshevov, comes out that even chayve asay are not going to, the marriage doesn't take effect. So then again, we're back to no nafkamina, because again, if the marriage doesn't take effect, certainly they can't stay married. So there's no nafkamina between Rav Shimon Atimana and Rav Shimon Ben Manasseh. That's the ones who made the nafkamina between Osur Lekaima or Yesh Lo Havaya. Okay, so now we're still left with, so if so, my Beinayu. So what would be the machlekes then, if you understand the way Rabbi Yeshevov understood, that any time it's Osur, the Kedushin is not Chal, so then what would be the difference between Roya Lekaima and Yesh Lo Havaya? What would be the nafkamina? You can't get married to any of those girls in the first place. So finally the Gemara says, Ika Beinayu, the nafkamina would be Be'ula l'kayin gadol. So Be'ula l'kayin gadol is also an asay, but it's a unique asay in the sense that umayshna, and why would this asay be different than any other asay? Because according to Rabbi Shevel, he already said the rule, if it's asur, it's asur. So he said, it's an asay that only applies in a very unique case, and therefore since it's a very special case, it really doesn't apply to all of Klal Yisrael, so the general rules don't apply, because this is not a general case. In cases that apply generally, so then you could say the general rules apply. But since this is a unique case, specific to Kain, and it's an asay, so it's not in the rule of, remember, because we're going according to Rabbi Yeshevov that says there's no exceptions to Chayve Lavim. So we have to be talking about an asay case. So we're talking about an asay case. A Be'ula L'Kayin Gadol is an asay, because the Torah told the Kohen Gadol he has to marry a Besula. So the moment that she's a Be'ula, she's a Chayve Asay. She's not what the Torah wanted. Now, in this case, it's also not the general rule. So if it's not the general rule, it doesn't follow the general rule, which is that the Kedushin is not Typhus. So this is the exception to the rule where the Kedushin is Typhus, where the Kedushin is Chal, even though the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to stay married. So that would be the nafkamina, that according to Rav Shimon HaTaimani, that says it's a matter of whether you can get married. They are able to get married, and therefore there would be a din knas over here. According to Rav Shimon Ben Manasseh, that says it's not a matter of whether they can get married in the first place, it's a matter of whether they can stay married. And in this case, they cannot stay married. Kohen Gadol is not able to stay married to a girl that he married who was already a Be'ula from beforehand. So therefore, the concept of knas would not apply, so that would be the nafkamina. So Rashi does also point out one other point, which is important, that even though we're referring to her as a Be'ula, the case we have to be talking about that she was nivela shaloi kedarka, because if we're discussing, that's what Rashi says at the end of Rashi, right? Be'ula shaloi kedarka, right where across from the Tosfos Yeshanim. Be'ula shaloi kedarka, I read, that's what Rashi says, the kedarka suleka knas. See, if we're trying to use this case as the example of where the nafkamina between whether you pay knas or you don't pay knas is only relevant in the context of a basula. So if she's actually not a basula anymore, there is no din of knas. So it must be that the case over here is that even we're referring to a be'ula, but a be'ula she was from beforehand, a be'ula shaloi kedarka, which is not a simple statement, but that is Shitas Rashi. Amar Rav Chista, hakol moedim bebala nida shemeshalim knas. So this is a very interesting case, because we just got finished saying that any time that it's asur, that there's an isur involved, you don't have to pay knas. Comes along the Gemara, the next line of the Gemara says, well, it's the Mishnah also. The Mishnah says it, but the point is nobody disagrees with it. Everybody agrees that even though she's a nida, and clearly being a nida is asur, but you still have to pay knas. Why? Because the Gemara says very clearly, Lamandi Yamar Yesh Bahavaya, Hanami Yesh Bahavaya. You could be Makadesh, a girl, even while she is a nida. Lamandi Yamar Ru'u Lekaima, Hanami Ru'u Lekaima. According to the Mandi Yomer, whether you could stay married, the answer is yes. Even though, as we all have that in our lives every day, that's what happens. That even when a woman is either once upon a time a nida or she is a nida, we still stay married. So therefore, we say that you have to pay knas.
Would be knas. The guy would retire. She was a nida. The guy would say she was a nida.
Right. Exactly.
I'm saying, there would never be a knas situation. I mean, not never, but it would be.
You'd have an excuse.
He would just tie that she's a nida. So, you know.
Well, you'd have to prove it. But anyway, ula afuke midurabi nechunyo ben akonyo. So this would go again. The Mishnah that says that you have to pay knas even on a kares case. Because this is, Anita is just an example, but there are other cases in the Mishnah that we list that are chayve kares, and the Mishnah says that you pay knas, is not like Rav Nechunya ben Akonda. The Tanya we learned in the Brisa, Rav Nechunya ben Akonda, haya oises yoyim kipurim kishabes l'tashlumim. So again, obviously this is a different case, but we are now going to talk categorically. We're going to explain how do we understand the chi of kares vis-a-vis the chi of misos bezdin. So Rav Nechunya ben Akana had a rule that he said Yom Kippurim, which is a chi of kares. If somebody's mechal Yom Kippur, it's a chi of kares. Shabbos has the same rules as Shabbos. If somebody's mechal Shabbos, there's a chi of misos skilo. And therefore, the same rules of tashlumin apply. Tashlumin, what do we mean? Whether we apply the concept of kam leibed rav mine, which is a general rule that if a person is chayiv, he did something which obligates him both on a misa level and on a monetary level. So there's a life and death aspect to it, and there's a monetary aspect to it. So we hold kam leibed rav mine, we give her the stricter punishment, we give him the misa, and he doesn't have to pay. Now that would make sense, and we know that certainly applies if somebody's mechal Shabbos, because Bezdin is going to give him only one punishment. The Chiddush, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, is that applies to somebody who's chayev karis as well, that since they're going to be punished on a kares level, even though it's not Bezdin's involvement, but they're going to be punished minashamayim from minashamayim din kares, they also don't have to pay if they did the avera in such a manner that the avera would have a monetary aspect to it. And as the Gemara finishes off and explains, ma Shabbos mischayev benapshoi upotur minatashlum, and just like on Shabbos, since he's going to be punished with his life, he therefore does not have to pay money for the same avera. So Rav Nechunya ben Akana says, so the same thing is going to be true on Karis, even though it's not Bezdin's involvement, and we understand, actually, simply, Bezdin can only give one punishment. So in the Chayev Kares, Bezdin's not doing anything. So maybe they still have their one punishment available. Maybe they can still make him pay money. So that's the Chiddush. Rav Nechunya ben Akana says, no, we compare the two and say that there's the Chayev Kares, you also don't have to make a payment either. Just like if Bezdin was giving the punishment of the Misa. Now, where does he get this one? What's this based on? So my time at the Rav Nechunya ben Akana, Omar Abaya, so Abaya gives the first explanation, and he says, Ne'mar osun bidei odom, ve'ne'mar osun bidei shamayim. It says the context of osun, which is talking about if a person gets into a fight and hits a lady, and he ends up ruining or killing the babies, there's a pregnant woman. So if there's no osun, meaning that he did not kill the woman, so he's not chayev misa for that, he's chayev to pay for the babies. But we say, if he had killed the mother, and therefore was chayev misa, he would not have to pay for the babies. So we see, kam lebi derabi minei, that's talking about in the case where Bezdin is doing it. The bidei odom, it says, osun bidei shamayim, this is talking about by Yaakov Avinu, and he told them that they should be responsible. It also uses the word also, and even though it's in the context of that he didn't do anything wrong, or there's against your against what you're able to control in the context of Bidei Shemayim. So since the Torah uses the same word in both of those contexts, so we make the comparison and we say, Ma asoin ha'omer bidei odom potur min hatashlumin, just like when you have an asin, meaning something out of your control, which would have been punishable by Bezdin, and therefore you don't have to pay money. So therefore the same thing, if the punishment is Bidei Shemayim, you also don't have to pay money. Okay, so it's a comparison. Asin, we create that comparison. However, so that's a biased teretz. Rav Adi Barahava asks, Mimai, how do you know? So this is all assuming that when Yaakov Avinu told the Shvatim to be careful when they took Binyamin down to Mitzrayim, that how do we know that that context is talking about a punishment or something bad that could happen? Bidei Shemayim, Mimai Dechi Ka Mizaher Lahu Yaakov Livonei. How do we know that when Yaakov Avinu warned or gave instructions to his children, and he's saying, make sure it doesn't get too cold, make sure you don't get too hot, right? To overheat, that could be very dangerous. How do you know that therefore it's a punishment, bidei shemayim? Dilma, al arye v'ganvi, bidei adam ninhu. Maybe what he was talking about was those type of things, that a lion can attack a person, and it could be, you can control the situation. So therefore, if that's the case, then this has nothing to do with punishments bidei shemayim. He wasn't even referring to punishments bidei shemayim at all. So the Gemara says, no. Alto Yaakov, aha is higher, aha lo is higher. So you think that Yaakov was warning him, be careful about this, but he didn't warn them about something else? Obviously, he was warning them about everything, which includes those things which are out of their control, which is a punishment bidei shemayim. Yaakov akol mili yizhar, as the Gemara says, that Yaakov was warning them about everything, that they should be careful about everything. Okay, which means that included in the package that Yaakov Avinu was warning them about, being careful from those things that could happen bidei shemayim. Now, the Gemara wants to know exactly. So we gave two examples. One example was pachim tzinim b'pachim, which we generally translate as cold and hot, and aryeh, an attack of a lion that was considered bidei adam. So the Gemara wants to know. Hold on one second. How do you? Why is one bidei adam and one bidei shemayim? Tzinim b'pachim bidei shemayim. So you're telling me that the cold and hot, that's something that's considered coming from a shemayim and the person himself doesn't control, which would mean, by the way, the attack by a lion would be considered bidei adam. So that's really what the Gemara is focusing on. V'atanya, we learned in a brisa hakol bidei shemayim chutz mitzinim opachim. It's just the opposite. That min hashemayim, your everything you can control except when it comes to hot and cold. Hot and cold you can't control. Shenema tzinim opachim b'derech ikesh, that cold and hot and go in a crooked way. Shoymer nafsho yirachek mehem. Somebody who's careful about these things will stay away from it. Okay, so we see, what do you mean you'll stay away from it? If it's min hashamayim, you can't control it. Right. Must be, from the pasuk, from the understanding from this pasuk, must be, there's a pasuk of Mishlei, must be that you are able to control it. So that's one question. So first of all, you could regulate whether I go into the desert or I go to the North Pole. I could regulate that. So therefore I can control at least some aspect of it. The su, and the other half of it is the other way around. Aryeh v'ganvi b'dei adam ninu. Whether or not a person is attacked by a lion or even by other people, that's considered, I'm in control. So now the Gemara is going to bring a very interesting Gemara. V'amar Rav Yosef, v'chein tani Rav Chiya, miyoyim shechar Rav Beis HaMikdash, even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, af al pi shebatlu Sanhedrin, even though we no longer have Sanhedrin, because Sanhedrin used to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, so we don't have Sanhedrin, and Sanhedrin were the ones that used to give the punishment of Misa. However, arba Misa's loy batlu. The concept of getting punished, a punishable avera that deserves the punishment of death, that concept didn't stop. So the Gemara says, "Lo batlu, hay batlu." What do you mean it didn't stop? It did stop. Sanhedrin's not there. They're not able to get mad out the punishment anymore. So the Gemara says, no, Elo, so now we're going to turn to Lamed Amud Beis, Elo din arba misos loy batlu. It's true. I'll agree. Of course, Sanhedrin is not here. And Sanhedrin themselves and Bezdin themselves cannot give the punishment. However, the concept of arba misos is still around. Why? Mishan is chayev skila. So somebody who deserves the punishment of skila. So again, Bezdin can't give him the punishment itself. However, so either this person will fall from a roof, or an animal will attack him. And Rashi explains that an animal attacking means the animal throws the person down before they'll rip him apart. So the throwing down is similar to the skila. So therefore, you see skila even bezman hazeh could exist. Mishen is chayev sreifa, and for example, if somebody is deserving of the punishment of sreifa of bez and einoifel b'bleika, so he'll be burned in a fire. Einochesh machishay, or a snake will bite him, and the snake, when the poison of a snake goes through a person, it burns him. Umishin is chayav arigo, somebody who has to get death. Oy nimsa l'malchus, they'll be sent to the king. The king, when he punishes somebody, they take a knife and they chop the person's head off. Or listen boy in a love, or robbers will come and attack him with their knives. So we see the concept of harigo still exists. Umishin is chayav chenek, and somebody who's chayav did an aver that deserves to be punished with choking. Oy toiveya benar, will drown, which is like choking. Oy meis besuruchni, or will die with a inflammation of the throat, which is choking. So we see that even though Bezdin themselves are not the ones who are giving the punishment, the concept, if a person is deserving of the punishment, they will still get it. So we see that the attack of a lion is one of the examples that we use here as considered skilo. So that means min hashamayim, they're giving him that punishment. So why are you considering an attack of a lion to be considered something bidei adam? On the contrary, this is exactly the classic example of something that's considered min hashamayim. So you're right. So the Gemara agrees and says ela epoch Arye the Ganvi Bidei Shemaim, you're right. Being attacked from an outside source, that is controlled Min HaShemaim. Sinim Upachem Bidei Adam, like the Gemara said, that you could stay away from it. The cold and the hot, that's actually Bidei Adam, meaning because you could somewhat regulate. You could cool yourself down. You could put on clothes if you're hot, if you're cold. This is something that you could somewhat, to some degree, pun intended, you could control and regulate yourself. So, warned now, whichever one it was, the Bidei Adam and the Bidei Shemaim, he really warned them about both of them. But that means that the word Osoin that Yaakov Avinu used was referring, included in that was also those things that are Bidei Adam. And Yaakov Avinu used the word, included in that was also those things that are Bidei Shemaim. That's really what we're trying to say. Also those things that are Bidei Shemaim. And Yaakov Avinu was warning them and used the word osain. Don't make sure that an osain doesn't happen. So therefore, we see that according to the way Abaya is learning now, according to Rabbi Chunya ben Akana, that the word osain is used for the word to mean bidei Adam, clearly, because that's the first pasuk that we brought. And it also used, the word osain is also used for those things that are bidei Shemaim. And in both of them, therefore, we could say that the same, that if you're getting that punishment, if a person gets the punishment of Misa, regardless of whether it's from Bezdin or Min HaShemayim, the Misa, therefore, he does not have to make a monetary payment as well. So he's going to be potter. Which means, not like our Mishnah, because on our Mishnah there are cases of Chiyuv Kares, and still our Mishnah says that you're chayiv to pay the Knas. So that means Rabbi Chunya ben Akana is not like our Mishnah. So all of this so far was according to Abaya's explanation. Rava Amar, Rava is going to go now back to a different pshat and says, "Time of the Rav Nachunya ben Akana mehocha." He brings a different pasuk because the pasuk says, "Vem helim ya'alimu am ha'aretz esayneim min ha'ish hahu." If Klal Yisrael is going to turn away, a blind eye, and they're not going to pay attention to this person, besito mizare lemoilech, for somebody who's giving his children to the avodah zarah of moilech, whether it's avodah zarah in general or specifically this avera of moilech. In any event, if Klal Yisrael is not going to take care of it, besamti ani es ponai beishahu ubamishpachtoi, Hashem says I will pay attention to this guy and his family, veichrati oisoi, and I will wipe him out. Okay, so we see, right, the Torah is saying, now in the same pasuk is saying, either Bezdin will take care of it, and if Bezdin doesn't take care of it, Hashem says, I'll take care of it myself. So, Amra Torah Koresh Shali Kamisa Shalachem. But since the fact that Hashem is saying, I'll replace the Bezdin, so we see that Hashem's punishment is the same as the Bezdin's punishment. If you guys don't take care of if you don't take care of business, I'll take care of business. Ma misa shalachem potter min hatashlum. And therefore, now that there's a comparison, just like if the Bezdin was getting involved and they would punish with death, they don't make him pay. Afkari shali potter min hatashlum. So therefore, also the karis that I'm discussing is also would exempt that the person who did the aver would exempt him from making monetary payments. Okay, so that's Rava's. So Abaye is learning it out of osin osoin, the word osoin, and Rava's learning it out of this pasuk that says if Bezin doesn't do it, Hashem will do it himself. Okay, but either way, Ma'ika ben Rava le Abaye, what would be the nafkamina between them? They both seem at the moment anyway to be saying the same thing, that it doesn't matter what the punishment is, whether it's Bezin or not. So Ika benaya, the difference between them is Zor she'ochal truma. Let's say you have somebody who does an aver, which is not chayev kares, but it is chayev misos bidei shamayim, whatever that means. Misos bidei shamayim. But it's not kares. So le abaya potter, according to abaya, because abaya doesn't make a difference between what the punishment of mina shamayim is. It could be any punishment, it's coming mina shamayim, kares included, but it's any type of punishment bidei shamayim, you're always potter. Because remember, according to abaya, the way we're learning it is that the person himself cannot receive two punishments. Ula rava chayev, but according to Rava, you're going to be chayev because Rava's exemption, according to the way he explains Rav Nachunya ben Akana, specifically was for those averes that are chayev kares. So here, this is an example of chayev misas bezdin, misa bidei shamayim, but it's not a kares. Since it's not a kares, so then that's kares would exempt the person from making a payment. But stam, the fact that the mina shamayim they as a punishment, that's not enough to make him exempt from making a payment. Abaya Potter, the Gemara says that it comes out that according to Abaya, you're going to be Potter because according to Abaya, it doesn't matter what the punishment is. It's any Misa whatsoever is always going to be Potter. Come lebe de Rav Aminei. Is that true? V'amar Rav Chista, Moide Rav Nechunya ben Akana. So Rav Nechunya, remember, they're all, both Abaya and Rava are coming to explain Rav Nechunya ben Akana. So according to Rava, we already have exceptions to the rule. But according to Abaya, there were no exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara says, but I'll show you there are. Moide Rav Nechunya ben Akana, but going of Chal, somebody steals chaylev, which is fat, which is a isur lav. Va'achloi, it's a punishment. It's punishable bidei shemayim. Va'achloi, and he eats it. Shehu chayev, he is going to have to pay money. Shekvar nes chayev b'gneiv, koydim shebo lidei isur chaylev. Okay, so we see that he's chayev to pay because I steal, and then I eat it. So when I stole, I owed $100, and then I ate it, and I was chayev, the person was chayev kares, chayev miso. Bidei Shemayim, right? So we see that even though he's getting punished with death, he's still going to have to pay the money. So Alma, but what do we see from that classic example? We see the Me'idna Da'agve Kanyo. The moment he picked it up to steal it, he already acquired it and has a monetary obligation. Mischayev Benafsho Eloi Havi Ad Ochalei. So then he's not chayev the misa part of it until he actually eats it. So he steals first. So even though he did it in all one swoop action, but really, if you take it apart, you realize it's two aspects, it's two different elements. One was the stealing part and one was the eating part. They really have two different parts of it. So if so, they're not really at the same time. We don't say kam lebe derab minei. So hachanami. So let's go back to our case over here. Hachanami ve'idna da'agve kanyo mischayev benafshe lo yave. Remember, our example over here was truma, that he ate truma. So the pashtus is, first, it's truma is food. So first I have to pick it up, and therefore I stole it, so I already owe the money, and then I only ate it the second half of my action. So I should be, the chiyav misa comes later, so I should be chayav, because the monetary obligation happened on its own. So the Gemara says, no, I'll give you an example where it all happens at once. So he says the case is not that I picked it up, that the person who's doing the act picked it up, because if he did, once he picked it up, he's already chayev the money because nothing else happened yet. The case is someone else picked it up and someone else put it into his mouth. And he did the swallow. So all he did was the swallowing. He didn't do the stealing yet. So the Gemara says, 1 second, that's not true. Soif soif, kivan delaise kanya. That's not true. Just because you put it into my mouth, that doesn't mean that I didn't steal it. Because the second I chew it is stealing. The chewing is the ruining it. It makes, it's the mazik, as Rashi says. So I ruined it, so that's when it becomes stolen. So mischayev benafshe lo yahave adabolo. So then, but the when is the Torah saying Yechayev Misa for swallowing it? So first I chew and then I swallow. So the chewing is the stealing. Again, it's, you could break down the act that he did into two parts, and therefore the chewing is the monetary part. The swallowing is the Misa part. So they're not the same. So the Gemara says, okay. So I'll give you a better example. Kgoin shetochav loy l'toich hablio. So the case is that no, he didn't put it in his mouth where he could chew it. Rather, he stuck it into all the way into his throat, where all that was left to do was to swallow. Oh, but the problem is like this. Hey Chidami, what was the case over here that he stuck it into his throat? If he's able to spit it back up, no matter where he stuck it in his throat, you're right, I could easily swallow, but I could also cough it back up, so then I should cough it back up. So what's my excuse for saying I didn't steal? I could have avoided the stealing part of it by just coughing it back up. So therefore the swallowing is really a second part. It's like a millisecond of a difference. And if I'm not able to cough it back up, am I chayev? So then why am I chayev at all? Anything? I'm a total itis. The guy stuck it, right? The guy put it intravenous. He stuck it all the way down my throat. There's nothing I could do about it. So then why am I chayev? So the Gemara answers a very famous answer. The case is, it's right at that point where if I force myself, I could choke it back up. But if I let it go natural, naturally I will swallow it. So on the one hand, if I force myself, since I could, there is a way I could cough it back up, therefore I am considered the one who's stealing it. Because I am the one who ultimately is making it, even though someone else put it into my mouth, but I'm the one who's making the decision that it's going to be eaten. Because I could, if I really refused to eat it and choked it up, it wouldn't have been eaten, and I wouldn't be the one that is stealing it. The fact that I chose to it, so now the choosing and the swallowing are really at the same time, because he already put it to the point where all I have to do is swallow. And naturally I would swallow. So therefore, I'm considered now the stealing part of it, because that decision not to cough it up, it's not natural. But it is ultimately my decision. My decision not to cough it, to force myself to cough it up. And to swallow all happened at the same time. And now the chiyuv of the payment, because I could have gotten away with not paying by coughing it up, but I didn't. And lemaisa, I swallowed. So now that all is happening at the same time. So now that's your example that everything is happening at the same time. The obligation to pay and the obligation, the chiyuv of miso, is all happening at the same time. So that's where I will use the example of kam lebe derabba mineh. Just one thing that's very important to know, if you're learning Rashi and you're being medaktik in Rashi, you'll see that Rashi does switch from the beginning of the sugya, in this sugya itself, of how the swallowing case, Rashi switches in the beginning from a din mazik, that's what we've been talking about till now, that it's my fault that the food is getting destroyed, the owner of the food no longer is getting the food because I'm swallowing it. And then at the end, Rashi switches and says, well, the reason why it works is because I'm not actually paying for the, let's say the food was worth $10. It was a grape that's worth, a fancy grape that was worth $10. So at the end, Rashi says, I don't have to pay the $10 as the damage, because remember, it's already put all the way down my throat. I have to pay what's called hanois goyer. The hanoa that I got, the benefit that I got from the fact that I ate the grape, that's, right, if you look at Rashi, Al Yidei Adchak, the last couple ones, hanoa is groinoi umeyov. That's what I'm benefiting from, and that's what I have to pay. So Rashi does switch, and that is what changes from the Havamina of the Gemara to the Maskar of the Gemara. That we're not focused on the Mazik part of it, because the Mazik part of it and the Misa part of it are in fact coming at two different times. Here we're talking about if I'm not a Mazik anymore, because he stuck it so far down my throat, I didn't do anything. I'm not the one who stole it from you. But I do have to pay you for the benefit that I'm getting. The benefit that I'm getting and the swallowing of the Chi of Misa, that is happening at the same time, and that's why this is a case of Kamlei B'Darabba Mineh. Rav Papa Omar Kegoin Shetochav Loi Chaver Mashkin Shel Truma L'Toich Piv. Rav Papa gives a very simple terrace. You don't have to get complicated about when it happens. It's very simple. That somebody poured a liquid in, and a liquid, it all happens at once. The destruction, right? You don't have to say that it's Bebes Ablia. Once I stick it into my mouth, the destruction and the Chiyav Misa all happen at the same time. And therefore, again, Rav Papa's not arguing in the concept, he's just giving a very simple example. Rav Ashi Omar, Bezor Sha'ocha Truma Mishaloi, and now in the last four lines on the top of Lamed Aleph, the Koreshi Royin Shel Chaver. So Rav Ashi now goes back to the Mazik case. And he says, the case is that I was eating Truma, so therefore there was a Chiyav Misa, but simultaneously I also did a separate act of Mazik. I tore somebody's clothing. So that case is, there's the chiddush of Rav Ashi is, that case also is a din of kam lebe derabba mineh. Because all I care about is not necessarily the act per se. I care about the simultaneous.
Yeah.
And two things are happening simultaneously. At the same time the person is being chayav misa, at the same time he's also obligated to make a monetary payment. So since those two things are happening at the same time, kam lebi de rav minei, ravashi's chiddush is, again, this is why the first shitas of the Gemara don't necessarily agree with this teretz, but they say, he'll say that as long, if any two things that are happening at once, we can only deal with one at a time. And therefore, if the person is chayav misa, we say kam lebi de rav minei, he gets the more strict punishment, he does not get the monetary punishment at all. And therefore, again, but so Rav Ashi has the advantage of going back to the Mazik case, which is what we started with in the first place, what we assumed was the first case. On the other hand, Rav Ashi has to say a big chiddush and say that we're talking about, even though they're not related, unrelated, two unrelated acts, just because they happen simultaneously at the same time, we'll still apply the concept of kamle b'derabim. Okay, we'll stop over here.
My button, like,